The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 10th, 2008, in Taveuni, Fiji.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bahunam Janmanamante Ganavanman Prabhajate. Vasudeva Sarvamati Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is indeed very rare. I am traveling all over the world to spread the knowledge of Krishna. This is the most important knowledge. Krishna is not just another one of the gods. This is not my words, but this is the words of Bhagavad Gita. According to the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the God of the gods. So, when we speak of Krishna, we are speaking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. If you can become perfect in your understanding and your relationship with Krishna, then you will have a perfect relationship with all the gods and with everybody else through all of the existence. When you eat, you are trying to nourish all the parts of the body. Your hand needs nourishment. Your eyes need nourishment. Your knee needs nourishment. Every part of your body requires nourishment. Your elbow requires nourishment. So when you take your meal, why you don't just rub your elbow in the rice? You cannot get nutrition by rubbing your skin. If you want to get the nutrition, what do you have to do? If you want to get nutrition out to your elbow, how do you get it out to your elbow? You feed your belly, don't you? Yes, you feed your belly. And by feeding your belly, by giving all the food to your belly, then the belly distributes it to all the parts of the body. Your eyes get their nutrition. Your ears get their nutrition. Your toe, your knee, your elbow. Every part of your body gets the nutrition just by giving the food to the stomach. Isn't it a fact? Yes, it is a fact. So in the same way, Krishna is like the belly of the universe. When you give your love to Krishna, when you give your bhakti to Krishna, then that bhakti goes to everyone. It goes to Shiva. It goes to Brahma. It goes to Durga. It goes to Ganesh ji. It goes to all the gods and goddesses. It goes to your wife. It goes to your kids. It goes to your parents. It goes to your neighbors. It even goes to the frogs. When you give your love to Krishna, then you achieve what is known as universal love. It is called universal consciousness. It is also known as Krishna consciousness. It is the supreme perfection of existence. If you can become Krishna conscious, then you also give the best love to yourself also. Because you are part of Krishna. And when you give your love to Krishna, then you get the best service. So there is no way you become a loser when you surrender to Krishna. I have come tonight with a humble request. My request to each and every one of you is this. It is not my request, actually it is Krishna's request. He states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman purit yajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayami mam shuchah. Give up all other duties, just you surrender to me. I will free you from all of your pap, all of your sin. Don't worry about anything. I'll take care of everything. So I have come tonight as the representative of Krishna. On behalf of the Lord, I am delivering the message to you. My humble request to every one of you here in this room, even the little children, is that I want every one of you to surrender to Krishna. Is that all right? Does anybody not want to surrender to Krishna? Is everybody who agrees to surrender to Krishna? Raise your hand. Almost everyone. So, I noticed that you didn't raise your hand. So, that means you're a philosopher. You need more understanding before you will act. And I respect them. You see.
He is the follower of Sanatana Dharma.
Sanatana Dharma, very good. Now we will discuss what is the real meaning of Sanatana Dharma. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a great scripture of the Vedas, Vedic ocean. Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. The Sanatan Dharma for every single living being is to be a devotee of Krishna. Let us analyze what do these two words mean, Sanatan and Dharma. Dharma, sometimes we say duty, you see. But actually, it's a much deeper meaning than that. Dharma means the intrinsic nature of the thing, the nature that you cannot separate from something. Just like, what is the nature of chilies? They're very hot, you see. Their nature is hot. And what is the nature of sugar? It is sweet. What is the nature of water? It is liquid. So dharma actually means the nature of a thing. What is its actual nature? And so sanatan means eternal. So real dharma actually is sanatan dharma. And if it is not sanatan, it is not actual dharma, you see. So the real dharma is to be who you actually are. Now if I ask you who you are, you may say, well, I'm a farmer, a Taviyuni farmer. I'm a Gujarati, Tari, you know, this or that, you may say. You see. But that is only the role you are playing in this lifetime. Who are you beyond all these different costumes that you're wearing in all these lifetimes, you see? Sometimes a human being, sometimes a demigod in Svarga, maybe sometimes an animal also in his past lifetime. What is your actual identity beyond all of these different roles that you have played in the material universe? That is the significance of Sanatana Dharma. One who is actually Sanatana Dharmi, he understands what is my actual nature. So what is the actual nature then? Look at your hand, for example. What is the nature of your hand? The nature of your hand is to serve the whole body, isn't it? Just like when you're hungry, the body needs some food. The hand will put the food in the mouth, you see. So the hand serves the body. That's its dharma. Sanatana dharma. It always serves the body. If the hand can't serve the body, that means that you need to go to the hospital to get it repaired. Sometimes someone breaks their hand and they have to have some doctor put a splint. They heal the bones, you see. So the natural state of the hand is to serve the body. The part of a thing is always meant to serve the complete whole of the thing. So are you not part and parcel of God? Can you claim to be the complete whole? No, you, just like all of us, you're a tiny part of a complete whole. Therefore, you are meant to serve that complete whole. So who is the complete whole? That is revealed. Were you recalling complete whole as Bhagavan? How were you translating complete whole?
Purnam.
Purnam, oh, okay. That's good. So, Krishna reveals in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate, that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So that means that everything that exists is Krishna's expanded energy. So that means Krishna actually is the complete whole. And you were part of that complete whole. Therefore, just as the hand is meant to serve the whole body, the real meaning of Sanatana Dharma is to serve Krishna. So that you are a follower of Sanatana Dharma, we are very happy to hear that. Because we are also the followers of Sanatana Dharma. And we understand what is the real meaning of Sanatana Dharma. To surrender to Krishna. Because that is our nature, to be devotees of Krishna. Did that make sense to you? Do you have any question about that? Do you agree with me? You do. So you want to surrender to Krishna? You agree the idea of surrendering to Krishna or no? Yes or no? Or maybe? Maybe? All right, well, that's very good. I appreciate it, maybe. That's very nice. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Everyone is Sanatan. Who would like me to come back to Tavayuni again in the future? Anybody? No one? Oh, okay. That's good. So the requirement is, if you want me to come back, you have to ask questions. Otherwise, I won't come back. This is the last time you'll ever see me here. See, actually, according to Krishna, when Guru is there, you must inquire how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Just for example, are you perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness? Are there some imperfections in your practice, you see? So, I mean, all of us, if we really look honestly, I'm not pointing a finger at you. You're just an example. But all of us, if we really look honestly, we will find that our practice has some imperfections, you see. We have to improve our practice of Krishna consciousness. There are various stages. There's Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Vajanakriya, Anartanavritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, like that, Bhava, Prema, different stages. So how many of us here in this room have attained Prema? On the highest stage of Prema. Or are we still battling it out with the anartas? Someone, a spiritual master comes, you have an opportunity to inquire from Guru Maharaj how to conquer over your anarthas. It's a very, very good opportunity for advancement. So, I want you all to take advantage of my being here in Tavayuni by inquiring how to advance in Krishna consciousness to overcome the anarthas. And if you have no interest to do that, then well, there's many people, other places in the world where they are interested in doing that. I can go there instead. I don't have to come here.
Maharaj, as a human being, why we have this human body and what is our duty?
Yes. Through the process of transmigration, you have gotten a human body. The human body is the greatest opportunity that you can have in any species. Because in this form, you have the facility to become an enlightened being. To escape the cycle of birth and death. So your duty is stated in the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have a human form, you should inquire about what is the nature of the Absolute Truth. Now do you see why I'm trying to ask everybody to inquire? Because if you do not inquire, then you are not fulfilling your duty as a human being. And you know what the scripture says about human beings who don't inquire about the Absolute Truth? The Vedic wisdom says dvi pada pashu, two-legged animal. The animal, they run on four legs, you see. But there is another animal, he runs on two legs. If he is not Krishna conscious, not inquiring about this Absolute Truth, then he is simply considered animal, like all the other animals. And when he gets old, what does he become? Tripada Pashu. You know what is the third leg? Cane. He's called Tripada Pashu. So, your duty as human being is to inquire how to understand the nature of the Absolute Truth and how I can perfectly realize the Absolute Truth. That's your duty. So I'm trying to inspire all of you to become inquisitive how to advance on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. I guarantee you, every person has an inquisitive nature. Everyone in this room has an inquisitive nature, there's no doubt. We inquire, where is eating? Where is sleeping? Where is mating? Where is defending? For material things, we are very inquisitive. But the animal also is inquisitive like them. You know that? Do you know the language of the birds? When they wake up in the morning, chirp, 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 chirp. You know what is the translation? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? You see? The birds are very inquiring, where is their food to eat? You see? So if as human being, all we do is inquire about where is the food and where is the sleeping. Then what is the difference between you and an animal? Do you think the human being is meant only to be an animal? No, he is meant to inquire about the Absolute Truth. I can see that you all have not been trained in this way. You do not have an inquisitive nature to inquire about the Absolute Truth. Therefore, I'm training you now, you see. I'm training you how to become inquisitive about the Absolute Truth. This is my love for you. Because I want you to get out of the cycle of birth and death. And go back to home, back to Godhead. I don't want you to rot in the cycle of birth and death. And to go down into the animal kingdom in your next life. Because if you live like an animal in this lifetime, only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you will get a body of an animal in your next life. You won't be a human being. Therefore, you at least don't want to become an animal in your next life, you must inquire about the Absolute Truth. So, are there any questions? Or is everyone content to glide down to the animal kingdom? Okay.
Whom did Lord tell of Gita, sing Gita to?
How did Lord...
No, whom did he tell Gita?
Whom did Lord spoke about Gita
first?
Arjun?
No, first, before Arjun.
Oh, he spoke to the sun god before that. Vivashvam. Yamam vivashvate yo gang proktavan namaham yayam vivashvan manave praha manur ikra kare ravit. You know that shloka. Fourth chapter, text 1. In the beginning, I instructed this imperishable science to the sun god Vivashvan. Vivashvan instructed to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu instructed to Ikshvaku. So, the Bhagavad Gita is an ancient teaching. It was simply re-spoken 5,000 years ago. At that time, Krishna said, this very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. In other words, even 5,000 years ago, Bhagavad Gita was an ancient science. Questions? Yeah?
Guru Maharaj, I have heard many of your lectures. And usually you are giving lectures, especially to Western people, to explain that there is God. For people who don't believe God, you explain who is God. And then you, for people in the Western countries who believe in God, you explain that there's no such thing as different religions. But here tonight, you are talking about for people who believe in God, but there are different concepts. Who is the God? It's like in a company when employees don't know who is the boss. And it's, for me, it's very difficult to understand why it is so complicated to understand who is the boss.
Because Shankaracharya taught Mayavadi philosophy to defeat Buddhism. Shankaracharya, who is the incarnation of Lord Shiva, on the order of Krishna, he taught impersonal philosophy to defeat Buddhism. He taught that the absolute truth is Nirakar Brahma. Formless spirit. And then all the gods are simply manifestations of that formless spirit. But after he did that, because it's very close to Buddhism. He used the Vedanta Sutra to establish, by juggling the grammatical, by playing around with the grammatical meanings of the Vedanta Sutra, he juggled this sort of interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra. He wanted to re-establish Vedic culture in India on Krishna's order, you see. And then after he did that, he said, actually, he told his disciples, he said, you intellectual fools, your grammatical knowledge and word jugglery will not save you at the time of death. Simply worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. But they liked the earlier philosophy because it meant they could think that I am God. I am also that Nirakar Brahma. That is me. I am Nirakar Brahman. I am God, you're God, we're all God. It's like one man told me in the Delhi airport, he said, we are all Krishna here. So this idea has completely muddied who is the boss. Shankara's philosophy is that I'm the boss, you're the boss, we're all the boss. It's a great company to work for because as soon as you get hired, you're the boss, you see. But is that practical? It's called pandemonium. It's a chaos, you see. So, that's why especially Indians have a hard time figuring out who is the Supreme Godhead. Because that philosophy of Shankara has come down for many, many centuries. And that's why one popular religious magazine in India published one article. They said, ISKCON is saving Hinduism. Because it's clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the Supreme. Param Brahma. Parandhama pavittam idam uttamam. Clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita. So, therefore, we have to, when we preach to the Indian people, we have to help them understand that their Bhagavad Gita is firmly establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Person, not others. In fact, Krishna states, kamaistaistaya hitagyana prapadyantenya devata tangtam niyamamashtaya pakritam niyatasvaya. He says, those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender under the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Krishna makes it very clear that demigod worship is for people who have no brain. Because whatever the demigod may give you, he has to get that from Krishna anyway. Krishna is the ultimate provider of everything. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. Not one supreme eternal, he is supplying the necessities of everyone. Even the demigods get their supplies from Krishna. So, in business, if one is in the merchandising business, do we have any merchants here tonight? Does anybody run a shop? No merchants, okay. So, a merchant, if he is very smart, instead of buying his goods from a middleman, he buys them directly from the manufacturer at a cheaper price. Come forward, sir. Don't sit in the back. Come forward. Everyone comes forward here. No, forward, all the way up here with the other men. Yes. Yeah. All the way. Keep coming. We love you. We love you. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. All the way. All the way. All the way. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. With the men. Come on. All right, now I'll let you sit. Come. Thank you very much. I don't have any contagious disease that you'll get sick. So, a smart merchandiser, he will buy directly from the manufacturer, and that way he makes bigger profit. Why deal with a middleman? So why deal with a demigod? Whatever he's giving you, it is like Indra supplies rain, but Krishna gives Indra the rain to supply to you. He's simply a middleman. Vivishwan gives the sun, but Krishna provides him with the sun to give to you. He's a delivery boy, that's all. Krishna is the ultimate benefactor of everyone. He is supplying everything to everyone. So why should I waste my time with some middleman, you see? Of course, in India, that is the system, isn't it? Bribe. Whenever you go somewhere to a government official, you have to give him some money under the table. See? In America, we don't bribe. We simply pay. There is one agency called IRS, Internal Revenue Service. And we simply give our tax to Internal Revenue Service, and they distribute it to all the departments. And if we go to see a government man, he is always already well paid by the government, you see. I don't have to give him bribe. That's like I simply worship Krishna and then everyone is covered, you see. But the Indian system, that is like demigod worship. You go to this office, you have to bribe this official, you go to that office, you got to bribe that official. Bribe, 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 bribe. So this demigod worship, it is bribery. That's all. I give bribe to Indra. I give bribe to Surya. I give bribe to Durga. I give bribe to Ganesh, you see. Because I want to get something. So I give them bribe. But actually, if you simply give everything to Krishna, then everything comes automatically. Much easier and much better way than you'd be bribing the demigod. Any other questions? Yes?
So many religious groups. They do not teach what is the ultimate purpose of the human birth.
Right.
And they teach to attain only the temporary things.
Right. Pray God for wealth, for a new car. It's like that song. Yeah.
Why do they do that instead of teaching the real?
Because they're ignorant. They don't know. The so-called religious leaders, they're ignorant of the science of God. They think religion is something to get your material desires fulfilled. They have no proper training. They've never trained properly. Therefore, we are traveling all over the world to try to train everyone. What is the proper understanding of bhakti?
So, the question is that
why do they teach the basic, like day to day, what they can get instead of teaching them what is the ultimate goal of human life?
Okay, we have to see the temporary goal. Asthai vastu sikhate hain aur hamara jo sahi jo karan hai humko sahi jo hamara jeevan ka lakshya wo nahi sikhate hain.
Questions, Mark?
Answer for my question.
Has he translated it yet, the answer?
He translated the question.
Oh, he didn't translate the answer yet. Oh, okay, go ahead.
So you need to answer.
Want me to answer it again?
Yeah, answer it again.
Okay. Yeah, we'll answer it. They are the religious leaders are ignorant. They think religion is something for advancing materially. What is the good of material advancement? It has some temporary value, that's all right. But it's ultimately not that valuable. It's like one time there was one yogi. He was meditating on the bank of the river. And the villagers, they thought, oh, there's a great sadhu, we want to do some sadhu seva. So they approached him, they said, we would like to build you a hut. Because you're out here in the hot sun, the freezing rain, so many austerities you are doing here, we would like to build you a hut. Now let me explain something about this yogi. He had a special benediction that he would have a very, very long life. He would live for the entire lifetime of Brahma, the whole duration of the universe. That's how long he would live. Not for one universal period, which is 311 trillion years, but for every hair on his body, he would live for a lifetime of Brahma. And let me tell you one thing. This yogi was very hairy. So he was going to have a very, very long life. Long, living even longer than Brahmaji. one universe after another universe, he would continue living. So when the villagers offered to build him this hut, he said, why bother? I'm only here temporarily. So it is okay that we make some comfortable arrangement in this world. That is all right. But we should never think this is my eternal shelter. Because one day, by the stringent laws of nature, we will be kicked out of this body. And where will we go? Will we take another body? Or will we go back to the spiritual world? That depends on your consciousness. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajantyante kalevanam tam tam me vaiti konteya sadatat bhava bhavataha. In whatever state of being you quit this body, that state you will attain, O son of Kunti, without fail. So what do you have in your consciousness? If you were to die right now, would you go back to the spiritual world or you take birth again here? Are you fixed in Krishna bhakti? Or are you simply thinking, eating, sleeping, mating and defending? Now do you understand why I'm trying to get you to become inquisitive about the Absolute Truth? Because that is how you will transcend this eating, sleeping, mating and defending mentality. That being said, do any of you have questions?